Turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. This is the last time that the Lord and His disciples would eat the Passover together. People refer to this as the Last Supper. They would eat together after this again. Our Lord and His disciples ate together again after this moment, but this was the last observance of the Passover together. And this is where the Lord gave the ordinance and the instructions for what we call the Lord's table. So look with me at verse 17 here. It says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." Now, the last time we were here, we looked at verses 14 to 16, where Judas made a covenant with the high priests to betray the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And we saw God's sovereignty and His absolute control in all of that. And I want us to notice His sovereignty and His absolute control in this too. Turn with me over to Luke 22. This is Luke's account of the same moment, and I want us to notice the details that our Lord gave in this. Luke 22, verse 7. "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." He said, as soon as you walk into this city where they were, he said, a man is going to walk right in front of you holding a pitcher of water. And he said, he is going to take that pitcher of water into his house, his master's house. This was the servant of a man who owned a particular house. And he said, the man who owns that house has a large upper room, and it's fully furnished. He said, you tell him that you are going to kill a lamb, and you're going to cook it, and you're going to set a table for dinner in that guest suite of his house. And he's going to say to you, okay. And that's how it went. And it's because that's how our Lord controlled for it to go. His sovereign hand is over everything. Turn over to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verse 9 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me." And let's remember, there's only one God. Father, Son, and Spirit, these three are one. If we want to see God the Father, look at Jesus Christ. We want to see God the Spirit, look at Jesus Christ. All the fullness of the Godhead is seen in one person. One God, Jesus Christ, is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So verse 9 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." That doesn't sound like the Jesus that is being preached today, does it? This one from ancient times, he said, "I already know everything that's going to happen because I order it to be so." Verse 11, "Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it." He said, "Where I will and purpose for a bird to fly, that bird flies. And what I will and purpose for a man to do, that man does." And that's so. Our God was ordering and controlling every bit of this, all of it. Go with me now back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 17. "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand." And what a line that is. We could stay there for a while. "My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Verse 20 says, "Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. When the evening was come. Our Lord gave the instructions on how to observe the Passover back in Exodus 12. Don't turn there, but that's where he gave the instructions on how to observe the Passover. And Israel observed the Passover for years and years and years. And he said, this is what he told them there. He said, "I want you to take a lamb and kill it in the evening. And he said, I want you to eat the flesh of that lamb, roast with fire in that night." He said, all of this is to be done in the evening. And then he said, for 7 days after that, you're going to eat unleavened bread every evening. Why the evening specifically? I don't know. But that's what he said, so that's what they did. He gave the instructions for the Lord's table to be observed in the evening, as it was done with the Passover. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, our Lord did this the night he was betrayed. That's why we observe the Lord's table in the evening. Now, here's what I want to say. We are not under law, and we are not trying to fulfill the law by doing it that way. It's just that's how our Lord said to do it, so that's how we do it. We're not under the law to meet here on Sunday. We are not under the law to meet here on a Sunday. We could meet here any day of the week. If my understanding is right, this Passover, this This was Thursday night. So why Sunday? You know, why do we all not go to work and show up here together on Sunday? It's because our Lord said first fruits. He said first day of the week. So that's what we do. I've been asked before, why do we observe the Lord's table on Sunday night? That's the reason why. That's why we do it. Verse 20, it says, now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. According to John Gill, he said it was their custom to make a thick dipping sauce out of fruit, nuts, bitter herbs, and spices. They would grind it in a mortar and they would make this sauce to dip their bread in. Including our Lord, there were 13 men sitting at this table. And it's unknown whether there was one dish for the entire table or whether there were multiple dishes on the table and two or three would, you know, whoever was sitting next to each other would dip out of it. Either way, what our Lord said to them was, the one who will betray me is sitting at this table right now. Verse 21, as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful. They were sorrowful. They were sorrowful. Number one, to hear that he was going to be betrayed. Number two, to hear that it was going to be by one of them. Number three, to realize the wickedness of their own hearts to the point that each one of them said, it's probably me. Each one of them said, it's probably me. Lord, it's me, isn't it? Lord, is it I? Verse 22. They were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. 11 men said, Lord, is it I? Before Judas did. 11 men. He was the last one. He heard all of them say it. And then he mimicked what they were saying. And we all need to be warned that there is no salvation in lip service. There is no salvation in lip service. Saying what we're supposed to say. Repeating what we've been told that we're supposed to say. They're all saying it. I guess I need to say it too. There is no salvation in lip service. None whatsoever. Men and women can talk a big talk about their religion, but God is looking on the heart. God is looking on the heart. And going through the motions will mean nothing in the end. There are religions all over this world. There are false religions all over this world that are built on going through motions. And it will not save anybody. It will do nothing for no one. If all we're doing is going through motions, there is no salvation there. None whatsoever. A form of religion. It'll mean nothing in the end. It's going to mean nothing. Where God's salvation is, number one, there's honesty in the heart. Where the truth is, there is truth. Where the truth of God's word is, there is truth in the hearts who hold that word. That truth says, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I'm capable of anything and everything. I know that I'm capable of anything and everything. I am not pointing the finger at him. It's me. Lord, is it I? It's probably I. Number one, there's honesty over the total depravity of my own sin. Number two, there is a deep sorrow over that sin. There's a deep sorrow over that sin. There is a broken, contrite heart over what I am and what I've done to my Lord. And I'm not just talking about the past. I'm talking about right now. How sorrowful do you believe Judas was about all this? How broken and contrite do you believe he was over the sin he had committed against his Lord? Look at verse 22. Notice that the disciples said, they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? What that means is God. That means Jehovah bodily. My Lord and my God, is it I? Look down at verse 25. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master. That means honorable one, one who I'm going to show honor to. Is it I? You see the difference there? Men and women in false religion, they love to put on a show of false humility. There's nothing but pride in there. There's nothing but pride in there. But that's not the case when salvation comes to God's people. Oh, there's still pride in there. But they're broken over it. They're broken over it. They don't even try to hide it. They expose themselves for what they are. They say, is it I? Is it I? And then they say, yes, I know it's me. I know it's me. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I know that I'm the chief sinner. I know I'm the worst sinner here. Of everybody here, I know I'm the worst sinner here. I know that his death is because of me. Why did Christ die on the cross? I'll give you the answer. Gabe Stoniker. Some of you know me a little too well. I know it was because of me. I know it was my sin that put him to death on that cross. Oh, can you just see them asking him this? Just, I can envision them asking him this over and over again. Like needing the answer. Not one time. Lord, is it I? And then the next one goes, Lord, is it I? And then the next one goes, Lord. I can see them bombarding him. Lord, is it, Lord. Is it I? Is it me? Needing an answer to the direct question of my heart. Is it I? Is it I? He said, Judas, you can go. And they were so concerned with needing the answer to their question, they didn't even pay attention to Judas. They didn't know what he was doing. When it says these men were exceeding sorrowful, I can envision them with their heads down. I can envision them, you know, head in their hands at a loss for words other than, oh, it has to be me. I can envision them being ashamed to even look at the Lord. They know their hearts. They knew their hearts just like you know your heart. Ashamed to even look at the Lord. Verse 26 says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In Luke's account, it's worded that he said, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. In their moment of desperation, what he's saying to them is, salvation is of the Lord. They're just killing themselves. They're exceeding sorrowful. They weren't just sorrowful. They were exceeding sorrowful. And what he said to them was, your redemption for all of your sin is of me. Now, the Lord willing, we're going to look at that in just a minute. We're going to pick up right here and see that salvation for all of God's people is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. They proved by their actions that they did not deserve salvation. They were not worthy of salvation. In reality, not one of the 11 there was any better than Judas. Look right here at verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it's written, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. We say Peter said that. All of them said that. All of them said that. Not me. I'll never deny you. I'll never forsake you. Verse 55, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out against a thief with swords and staves? For to take me, I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled, all of them. Every single one of them. He was left alone, thank God. He was left alone. All sinned against him. All denied him. All forsook him. All turned their back on him. But to the ones that he came to redeem, he said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for the remission of your sin. And that remission is of me. That salvation is of the Lord. And that's what we're going to look at here in just a minute. All right, you're dismissed.